B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic, 9 o'clock hour, is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. And for details, go to bagster.com. And we are always thrilled on Thursday mornings at this time to be able to be joined by our own Ricky Batalico, who joins us at whose bequest?
Well, Ricky joins us courtesy of the Twin Spire Sportsbook.
That's very nice.
Oh, look at that.
Coach sounds so different.
Where the hell is Coach?
What happened to Coach?
That's Coach with a cold.
He's got gastroenteritis.
Coach would have forgotten again, so they had to bring me in.
They had to bring him in there.
Hashtag radio poops.
So he's got the poops, huh?
he had the poops yesterday.
Oh, so
5 day old chili in the fridge. Would you go for that?
5 day old chili.
Well, no. Freezer, yes.
And that is exactly what was... I got email after email yesterday when we talked about this. Because Coach ate 5 day refrigerated chili. And a chef said,
I'd push the limit.
And a chef said, no, if you took chili, if you don't eat it, take it, freeze it,
right,
and then thaw it out again. Do not put it in the fridge for 5 days. Because there's something about chili. There's something about beans. Something about beef, too. But 5 years of 5 days of beef. He said 3 days of beef is the pushing the limit.
5 years, I definitely steer.
On refrigerating at that point.
Sometimes you got to push it.
There's a Bagster. And I applauded you guys again. I applauded you yesterday, but I applauded you again earlier today. The fact that Ricky Batalico, Michael Barkan, start out the post-game show yesterday. And I had heard, by the way, too, T-Mac and John Kruk, too, after the game.
Yeah.
There's an integrity to the Phillies broadcasts that I do not believe exists with all teams in this market, and I do not think exists across many, many cities in this country, and I can tell you, after working in one, I've seen it.
I think it's... I think it's come out a lot more this year because we have, like, crossovers now, and, you know, Michael and I are just go off the seat of our pants type, and I'm sure Crucky's rolling his eyes like, oh, no, do I have to do this when it gets to us, but... You know, I'm not, they know I'm not going to go on there and, you know, do any sugarcoating. No.
You didn't.
And it usually rubs off. It rubs off on Krupp quick because I know he wants to snap. You know, and then all you got to do is rub him a little bit the wrong way.
He made a comment the other day about a weekend off, and T-Mac was like, oh, you're not going to, like, watch? He's like, well, I'll listen to you. But you can tell he doesn't like the product he's watching right now.
How could you? Does anybody in here like the product they're watching
right
now?
No, but I'm not in the booth every night.
Yet last night, yesterday's game reminded me of all of 2020's season.
Sure.
They had some offense, right? And the funny part is that the bullpen stunk yesterday. As bad as it probably could have been yesterday. This is not... And I hate to say it, but Girardi's got to figure something out because if I'm in a game and I leave two guys out there and Hale or Coonrod come into the game after me, Coonrod's had a good year. Don't get me wrong, but he is not good with runners in scoring position. Inherited runners.
You gave the number yesterday, 15, 11 out of 15 have scored?
I think it's 12 and 8 for him and 11 out of 15 or 16 for Hale.
That's
awful.
David Hale has faced 7 batters this year with the bases loaded.
Yeah.
They are 6-for-7 with 2 doubles, 2 grand slams, 17 runs scored.
So that's my whole point. What the hell is he doing?
Is that unbelievable? Get him off the team.
Here's the question I can't figure out. Phillies have a day off on Monday.
Oh, this is...
They have a day off today. Day off today, day off on Monday.
Yeah.
And Joe Girardi said he was down 4 pitchers yesterday?
4 freaking
pitchers. What the hell is that about?
How?
I don't understand.
And then he says, well, it's, you know, there's guys that went in San Francisco. I could really care less.
In San Francisco? That was 5 days ago.
You had a day off in between, then a night game. So you had a day game, San Francisco. Well, I guess it turns into a late afternoon game if you're talking all East Coast. Then you have a full day off, and then these guys are unable to pitch 2 days in a row?
I don't understand
the money they're making. This is pathetic.
Now, is that an organizational decision? You think that's above Joe's head?
I think it is. Yeah.
That's
kidding me? How could you? I understand. Joe said at the beginning of the year, you know, I'm not going to hurt anybody. Really hurting people by going a couple days in a row?
So, Ricky, let me ask you: when you were playing, was there a red light, green light for you guys that you decided?
Yes, I had a thing called a green light.
Yeah, I know you did.
They left it on.
Right. But I mean, how is it usually handled now in the major leagues?
It's handled definitely a little bit differently. But in my eyes, if I was getting paid to play the game, you'd be ready every single day.
Sure.
I mean, the only times that, like, if I went 3 or 4 in a row, I would literally be told, emergency guy today. That doesn't mean you're done.
Right.
It's an emergency.
Yeah. So today, in this day and age, is it, all right, bullpen coach goes to Girardi and says, all right, we have a green light on Kincaid, a red light on Cooney, green light on Lynch, green light on Metallica.
There are red lights. Like, I'd rather pitch Jankowski in this situation than go to my bullpen.
Wow.
So you'd rather basically give away the game than put somebody else in.
I watched Joe Girardi's body language afterwards.
He is miserable.
and to me, this is something, and you as a player will tell me you'll understand it better. To me, it's completely unfreaking acceptable. What if I was like disappointed with stuff going on around the station or pissed off? And
you'd probably say it on the air.
You don't sit there and go, he's uninspiring.
What could he do?
I want to hear that. He's trying to protect his players.
But he's sitting there saying, well, if I say, like, probably in the back of his mind, well, if I say the truth here, I'm going to bury one
protect
of my own players.
Protect his players. At what point do you share the truth with people?
At some point, you just got to read between the lines. It's with everybody. Come on. When Kapler was here, how many times did you have to read between his lines?
And he got ripped for it.
He was awful.
And so Joe Girardi's got to get ripped too.
Hey, did you see Nappy's at bat in the fourth inning? We only lost by 12, but he had a hell of an at bat.
Boy, and I love his enthusiasm. Look, he comes to work every day.
I don't really. I see, this is the problem with baseball right now, is that as long as they come to work every day and they practice and do the things beforehand, then losing's acceptable. It's a bunch of crap. Losing is unacceptable at the big league level. I don't care. You're making money to play the game. And a lot of these guys are making a lot of money to play the game at a higher level, right?
Sure.
You don't expect a lot from rookies when they come in.
No.
Right? But you look at some of these players on this. Look at the payroll on this ball club. This team sucks in comparison to the
And they're paying
payroll.
A fortune. Mm-hmm. Paying a fortune for it. Is it too early to portray this weekend 4-game set as critical?
It is critical. I didn't see. Did the Mets win last night?
I don't know if it's hyperbole
or not.
It's 5,
right?
They won.
So they could be out 9. Okay. What would you say then?
Season's over.
Yes. Thank you.
You would.
Yeah.
And the only thing where we would look dumb is the Washington Nationals World Championship team a few years ago, but they had all
no,
that pitching.
That would even be too late, I think.
They were 8.5 out, I think, or 9 out
when,
at 4th of July.
Were they?
Yeah, they were
18-31. Well, but they're the outlier to it all.
And they were 19-31.
Back on the Red Sox from 14.5 back in August.
So you're telling
me this team doesn't have that. There's no reason to believe they've got that kind of run in them.
These guys that all love each other and stick up for each other are not going to all be together come July.
Ricky,
this is going to be these guys are going to be in for a shock if they don't get this thing righted quickly.
But let's get a sombrero and let's all have a sombrero.
Hey, as long as somebody comes over to first base and I can talk to them, we're all good.
As long as everybody's having fun.
Yeah.
Let's have fun.
Number one, the players have changed that in the game. And to me, those other teams that came in were my enemies. That's the way I looked at it. That's the way I wanted to play the game. When you start buddying and chumming up to these guys, they're not your enemies anymore. It's almost like they're all in the same group. Nobody feels this?
Yeah, no, I feel it.
Oh, yeah.
Reese is the leader of it.
Your favorite player, though, is one of the biggest offenders of this.
Freddie Freeman.
Freddie Freeman's one of the... He's playing pat ass with everybody at
but
first
for
base.
For the most part, he still plays the game hard.
Oh, he does. He plays it the right way.
He can play
right.
defense last
no,
time
he does.
I checked.
Oh, he can.
But he always is chatting up everybody. I'll never forget this. Greg Jeffries was my first baseman one year. And Greg liked to talk to guys. I literally looked over and I'm on the mound looking over and I look over and he's talking to the guy in first base. He gets in the dugout. I looked at him. I said, don't do that when I'm on the mound. Just don't. I said, I don't care what you do when somebody else is out there, but I want you paying attention to what's going on. I don't care. That guy just got a hit off me and you're shooting a crap with him. No, thanks.
There's a great story about like Stan Musial and Mickey Mantle were in a World Series against each other and they were good friends. And right. Mantle went up to him before batting practice before game one and Musial just looked at him and turned away. And Mantle kept going up to him, like, did I do something wrong? And Musial just kept walking away. Series got done. He went to the locker room. Musial said, I'm not talking to you during the World Series, dude. I love you to death, but I am not talking to you during the World Series. You're my mortal enemy.
Right. See, I think I looked at things from a team perspective, my perspective, and a fan's perspective all the time at once.
Yeah.
Because I knew we went to play the Mets. I hated them. You had to have a hatred for them.
Mm-hmm.
Braves, I was the same way. Sorry, I couldn't.
Right.
Not that I didn't respect Maddox, Glavin, and Smoltz. Not that I didn't respect them.
Yeah, sure.
But I hated them. I wanted to kick their asses every time out.
Absolutely. That's the way it should be.
But it's not. Take a good look right now. It's like, oh, let's get this guy a contract.
No, it all started
let's get
with.
That guy a contract. It's almost like there is no more game.
It all started with Magic, with Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas kissing each other. Before games.
Out of respect, I understand that. Michael didn't want any part of that.
No, Michael didn't need to play.
Do you and Michael kiss before you do postgame?
No.
I'll tell you yesterday.
No. There were rumors.
Okay, Michael, did somebody take take his parking spot yesterday?
Well, Pat and I at least had sex one time.
He was, Mike was, when they came to him,
he was sour.
But you know what? It was visceral. It was real.
I kind of like it because then I don't look like the complete bad guy in that situation. But I could still tee off.
Pennsylvania's number one casino is the Parks Casino. Check it out. You got to be 21. If you got a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. So the Phillies bullpen, obviously a mess. But let's look at the starting pitching. It's
it's a mess.
For a while, it looked like it was going so well. It seems like just now it's springing leaks.
Well, I think Nola's been leaking since April 18th when he had his complete game. He has not been the same pitcher. He had, one good start after that. And I don't know. He's hard to pinpoint. I feel like, in all honesty, I feel like he's doing too much with his hands. If you watch him before the pitches, he's like jolting his glove around and kind of making weird gestures with his glove. Just throw the ball.
He looks uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's probably why he's starting to do all these other things.
Do you think there's a possibility, not that it's cheating if it's widespread across the league, but that maybe he's lost something?
He's lost all year, though.
I know. But
it's lost before they started checking.
But word came down early that MLB started this investigation early, and he lives on the movement of his fastball and the placement of his breaking stuff. You know, is that something to consider? Is that fair to question?
I think you could question anybody after the comments that Max Scherzer made the other day. If you listen to Max Scherzer, he 100% said that he has been using stuff.
They all do.
I can't get a hold of the ball. Was the one. Says,
yes.
And I usually have other ways.
I cannot throw that pitch because I might hurt somebody. So you've been throwing that pitch for how many years? How many years have you been cheating for then? Isn't that the question? You know what's funny? Nobody reads between the lines anymore. They take it for what they say. And they don't say, well, wait a minute. He just said this.
You want to have
Cy Young? Bob always does. Bob always does. And I think it's part of the... It's just Bob's upbringing in this industry.
I will tell you this much. I've been doing this job for a while. I would say for about the last 4 years, I could have picked out every single guy that was cheating. And it just got worse and worse and worse.
So when you watch Max Scherzer, did you believe he was a cheater? If I had asked you this last year,
he probably had something going on.
So do you think Joe Girardi was right for calling it out the other night?
Let me put it this way. Did they really check his hair? They just looked at him and he said, I'm sweating.
I think an ump touched it, but like how much can you really?
No, the ump did touch it,
didn't
he?
Let me put it this way. If your hair is wet and you have any type of product,
gel, whatever, which is
not really illegal, right?
No, but it can be sticky.
But if you touch it and then it dries, what happens? You have tack.
Yeah.
I proved it to Michael Barkin the other day.
You touched his hair?
No.
Because
there were rumors?
I took some gel.
Right.
And it's not, it doesn't get sticky when it's wet.
But it does get tacky.
It gets tacky. There are so many easy fixes. You know what Major League Baseball have to do because of all these crybabies crying that they can't use something? They have more money than God, right? Is that fair enough to say Major League Baseball?
Yeah. Yes.
Hire a company. We need a substance that's tacky, but not too tacky. Just something that you could actually grip a ball with. Or be smart and get the mud back out of the damn river.
And raise the stitches of the balls.
Home runs away, Bob. Can't do that.
they do change the ball every year. In some way, shape, or form.
Of course they do. They own the company. They do whatever they want to do.
But that doesn't make sense to me. That would be like the NFL has changed their ball, by the way, one time in 29 years.
Well, I'll tell you right now, when I was playing the year that all the home runs came, those baseballs were ice cubes. No doubt about it.
Mm.
So
tightly wound,
shorter seams. By the way, I hate to tell you, seams are easy to raise. These guys are just idiots.
Wait, your toenails?
If you're rubbing up the ball, you just put your nail on the ball
and it'll raise
the seam where you need to grab it.
Hey.
And why are these balls so slippery if you're supposed to grab the seams?
Yeah. Hello?
There's your grip there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, you can raise a glass to Wendy's new bourbon bacon cheeseburger. Ricky Pitalico will be driving through and getting one later today. Smothered in the new bourbon bacon sauce, it's a bourbon masterpiece that you eat at participating U.S. Wendy's. How was graduation?
Excellent.
I get to the thing. How was that?
That's right. You blew us off last week.
Yes.
No, it was really good. My daughter was happy. It was a little different. I told these guys we're all in a pod. My daughter sat with the family. Like, she sat in front of six people. You only get six tickets. I guess that was their COVID thing, but that
COVID?
It really didn't work very well because after it was done, they were all supposed to walk out by themselves and then the families walk out after. It turned into a picture-thon, nobody ever made it out.
When you see what happened to the Sixers on Sunday night,
yeah,
you understand this city. You understand this family.
Yeah.
Doc, we were talking earlier about Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey. They're very laid-back dudes. About losing like that.
I heard you saying that they haven't seen it.
I don't think they're feeling what... Like, Daryl Morey stated a press conference the other day and said, I don't understand what I'm reading in the paper, what I'm hearing, what people are saying about my team. And I'm thinking to myself, does he know his consumer base? Understand what the pain of people have gone through in this town?
I think the people here look at it and say, if we played this series 20 times, we'd lose it once, and that was the one time. Like, they should have won that. There's no way that they should have lost this series.
No.
How's that? There's no way.
I think if they played Game 7, if you told me you're going to play Game 7 10 times, they win Game 7 8 times.
If you played the series 20 times, how many times do you think you would have lost?
The thing is, the choking is what really got
them. Well, first and foremost, if they came out ready to play in Game 1, that thing never would have been a series. I'm telling you. I don't think they came out in Game 1 ready to play.
Yeah, I agree with that. They got down 26 points in the first half.
And they almost came back, but that was because Atlanta was just playing sloppy.
I remember they were lucky to win game two. You needed Shake Milton.
They took
you
a big lead
Shake
early,
Milton to
right?
barrel you out in game two.
And a rookie to bail you out in game six.
Correct. I mean,
when
Ben Simmons got in foul trouble. They were lucky they weren't swept.
Okay, but where's the bigger problem? The city sees where the bigger problem stems, too, because next year, Atlanta's only going to get better.
Okay? Oh, yes.
And these teams are going to get better, and the Knicks are going to get better. Am I right? They're young.
They should. They have good leadership.
So all these teams are going to get better. And where are the Sixers going? Are they getting better, staying the same?
Well, one of the big questions is Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Have you ever played with a teammate, and you don't have to name names, I'm not asking you to do that, that's mentally just been lost like this, that's checked out and can't do what they once did?
I actually was on Rick Ankiel's team.
Oh, wow.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah.
That's the craziest story ever.
He just lost it in a playoff game. I mean, I wasn't on that team then, but I mean, I talked to him about it. He was like, I just couldn't do it. And it's funny because it happens. I've been to, you know what the worst thing is that if you're in your own skull and you throw, like as a pitcher, you throw three straight balls in an at-bat.
Caves.
And then the fans kind of give you that that boo type thing. Then you're like... Then you start tightening up, but then a lot of guys, they let it get in their head. You know, if I walk somebody on four pitches, I'm like, screw it, get the next guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but some guys are a little bit more fragile when it comes to that. You think about guys that can't throw the ball the first, Steve Sachs.
Chuck Knobloch.
Knobloch. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys. That happens to
a lot of players. Sasser, catcher for the Mets.
From Major League.
I think it was like 2010, Ankiel came over in a trade to the Braves.
Yeah.
And he ended up being a hell of a performer for them. And he was such a good dude. Like, and he couldn't, but he couldn't explain it to anybody.
No, what happened. Couldn't. It he just couldn't.
Like, to me, and I'm going, how could you not know yourself?
I think deep down you know it. You know it was in your skull and it wouldn't leave.
Because he became a center fielder. And by the way, he came up with clutch hits in the postseason.
Oh, he could hit a little bit.
I mean, he
could hit a little bit.
He was, but I admired him so much because other guys would have folded and and blown away, and we never would have talked about them again. He became a center fielder in the major leagues and played in the postseason.
But here's the problem, is that everybody doesn't have that backup ability where somebody's there to back you up and talk you through certain things, right? Wait. I mean, what?
What do you mean? Like, you're talking about like a support system of some sort?
Yeah, I mean, even in the minor leagues, we used to have guys that come talk to us and ask us how things, like, if you were a prospect, they would come talk to you.
Losing
and,
is like a
Joel
disease.
Fish. Yes, like Joel Fish.
Yeah, yeah.
Dr. Fish. He actually made things about as simple as it could be for me. I was struggling a little bit in AAA. He comes in. He's like, what's going on? I said, baseball-wise? He goes, oh, mindset. You know, what are you thinking about? Blah, blah, blah. And I told him, he goes, you know, Here's a good thing that I think would help you. 7 out of 10 times, that batter, the best batters in the world, 7 out of 10 times they make it out. Go out there and pitch and think about that. Think about that for a second. So you have a 70% chance of getting him out with your worst pitch. Think about it.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I think that I didn't come from a tough generation, but I think that there are other generations that I know that would have said, man, people are soft today. They really don't. Like, now all guys, it's all about, are the players up in their feelings? Are they feeling confident? Do they have somebody to support them?
There's no doubt about that.
That's totally, the whole world's different today.
Yeah, but that's not what I was talking about. I was talking about, you know, you're struggling, you need a little bit of help.
That's somebody's there that
now it's like, the guy goes 0-for-4 and it's like, oh, is he okay? Is he going to be okay?
Well, that's because kind of mental wellness in this country was ignored for so long. Now the pendulum swung the other way, where everybody's so worried about it, everybody's mental state, that it needs to balance somewhere.
There's got to be a happy medium somewhere, and it's not there right now.
No, we're not. We're certainly not at a happy medium. The way it's
like, I'm sure if you talk to Schmidt back in his struggles, his mental wellness was probably
he was probably a disaster.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
And he was tortured in this town.
Absolutely, Jaws was tortured. McNabb was probably tortured. Nobody asked about his. Yeah, nobody asked about.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
But like, nobody questioned McNabb's mental well-being even 20 years ago.
Is anyone looking out for Ron Jaworski? Is he in a good spot? He's getting tortured. He's getting crushed. Everybody wanted Joe Pisarcik. They would chant for Joe Pisarcik. Unbelievable. All right, we got a lot coming up, including, can we revisit a story? What if this person hadn't arrived? We'll get to it coming up. Ricky Pitalica is with us here on the John Kincaid Show. You're on the Fanatic.
I'm going to tell you about BetMGM because it's the best time to hop on the King of Sportsbooks and try it out. I've been winning money all season long, and I'm going to try to continue it with baseball now. If you want, though, you can register using promo code PATEGAN100, and you bet $1 on the Clippers or Suns. And if either team hits a three, you're going to end up cashing in $100 in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. But look, they have all the sports. They have the hockey playoffs going on. They have, obviously, the NBA playoffs going on. But if you want to bet something live right now, guess what? They have it. Because there's some sport going on in the world, which means there's some sport that you can make money on. BetMGM wants you to win. They want you to get started, though. Hop on BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app. Enter promo code PATEGAN100, then place a $1 moneyline wager on the Clippers or Suns. When either team hits a three, you're going to end up cashing in $100 in free bets. It's paid in free bets, and it is a new customer offer. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You have to be 21 years or older, Pennsylvania only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. BetMGM Sports in partnership with Hollywood Casino Morgantown.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Appreciate you being a part of the show every day. We want to thank Wendy's. It's a Thursday on the show, so Wendy's new baby Birkin. Baby Birkin, what?
A Birkin?
How about a bourbon bacon cheeseburger? Bourbon bacon cheeseburger.
Spit it out!
Smothered in the
John's been hitting the bourbon.
smothered in the new bourbon bacon sauce. It's a bourbon masterpiece that you eat at participating U.S. Wendy's.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
I do not do bourbon.
How many problems will you have with that now?
I thank God I don't have to say it again today.
Right, next week.
No, that'll be fine. That'll be fine. Yeah, that. But I have no idea why all of a sudden bourbon baby Birkin became bourbon bacon. Or whatever I said
bourbon.
At that point. I do not do bourbon.
I love bourbon. Just picked up a new bottle yesterday.
For your bourbon fan. Like, in the heat of the summer, you're drinking bourbon?
Yeah, just put a lot of ice in it.
I got a case of Kenwood coming my way.
Why?
I still haven't tried one.
Did you buy it, or did somebody?
I was on Twitter marketing the other day.
And Ruben had one, and I said, looks good. And I got a tweet back from the company.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, that's pretty good
stuff. I'm kind of excited.
Yeah.
I saw a show on NBC Sports Philadelphia when I turned on my television yesterday that was being, I guess, replayed from another time. And it was Ruben sitting with Ed Wade.
That was not another time. That is a show now.
No. I mean, it was
that
it,
is
no, but
Bowen,
no, I mean, no, but I mean, it was yeah. like a
down the line.
Down the line.
Is that what it's called? What is that?
Sam Wilson.
It's
our old colleague Sam Wilson.
Sammy's hosting it, and Larry Boa and
Charlie.
I guess they just go everywhere and talk baseball and mess around. I don't know.
I mean, they got a little bromance going on, Charlie and Bo. It's cool.
Bo is the best, man.
That's a good combo.
Just makes me
okay,
laugh.
How crazy is he?
He's out of his freaking mind. He's a good. He's awesome.
Is he the same crazy?
I think if you love baseball, if you don't love that guy, you should not even be watching the game because he is probably Mr. Baseball. Like, to me,
Tom Selleck is Mr. Baseball.
I'm saying, like, era-wise, to me, he was Mr. Baseball. I had him as a manager. I had him as a coach. I've seen him play. I know him personally. He's just, to me, he's a great guy. I know a lot of people think he's just nuts and out of control, but maybe that's normal to me. How's that? Wow.
I think he is.
A deep dive into Ricky Bo's mind.
I admire genuine people.
He's very
genuine. And he seems completely genuine.
Oh, yeah. I will tell you this much. When you were playing, he was, I wouldn't say he was tough to play for, but if you had rabbit ears, you had problems because this guy would, man, I can remember I came out through ball one and I heard him just scream. I heard him scream in the dugout because at the vet, there was a tunnel and anything you said went straight to the mound. And I heard him go, Vern roll. What are you doing with these relievers? They can't come in and throw a strike.
And you'd literally
be on the mound and just kind of peek over at him, and he'd do the old turnaround like it wasn't me who said it. It was awesome.
You know who I compare him to real quick, John? Larry Boa and Jimmy Lynam remind me a lot of each other in ways that, like Boa, you could see, you know, Larry and I don't know each other. While I was at his house once to do a story and stuff like that. No, but I could see him and say, hey, Larry, how's it going? Well, I don't know. Let's see what's going on with this team. He'll just talk ball. And Jimmy Lynam's the same way. He'll talk ball
because
with anybody.
Because he knows
that's
what's
a double name
they
dropper,
know what's
Pat.
Going on. They see it and they react to
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
I don't know.
The only thing I would say about Larry Boa is that it would just seem, to me, it would seem Larry Boa can go from zero to irrational in 10 seconds. Like, he can go
What
from,
is irrational to you, though? I had him as a manager.
I've seen him go from zero to a million.
And it kind of made... See, I was...
I admire...
I was the kind of guy where once a guy hits a million, like, going zero to a million, I'm laughing. And that's a bad thing, because if they look at you, like, we'd have a team meeting, and he'd be going off, and all of a sudden, the veins and everything else out of the neck. That's when I duck in the locker and start laughing.
I want self-control out of leadership. Because, like, it always is one of the things.
Why?
Is John Chaney.
Something.
John Chaney in this town, people talk about John Chaney, and I got to witness it up close and personal, even doing Temple games when I was there, is the idea of John Chaney is considered this icon of teaching people. John Chaney lectured his players all the time about poise and keeping their poise and keeping their thing, and he never displayed any of that. And I think that a leader that demands something of their players needs to demand it of themselves. I always questioned that with Coach. I'm like, you're telling your players they have to be poised, they have to be calm, they have to be under control.
But Bowen never did that.
Oh, I think he was
crazy. You wanted to be out of your mind? Go ahead, be out of your mind. He didn't care.
Oh, no. But I'm saying is, I think then your team plays out of its mind. Your team plays.
What's wrong with that?
I don't like it. I don't like it. I think because I don't think you're at your best when you're out of control.
If you're on a different team and you have 25 psychos you're going into play, you weren't real comfortable.
Okay, what did a Larry Bowa team ever win?
We almost took over the Braves in 2001.
Almost. I mean,
well,
seriously.
It's better than what we did in years before and after.
What was the Phillies payroll in those times?
Nothing.
And they had a farm system.
It was cheap.
I mean, that team, I don't even know who our highest paid guy would have been.
Robert Person?
No.
Was that like 2000?
It might have been Lieberthal.
Probably.
Liby.
Was that like four?
01.
01. It was 01.
Omar Dahl was their opening day starter.
Yes, he was.
Oh my God.
I guess I just admire the... I don't mind the fire and brimstone behind the scenes.
In 2001, the payroll was $53 million.
Which put them where?
Suck on that one.
I got to find that out. But currently, they're at $183 million.
Yeah, right now you're over... Can you imagine how much money's been misspent on this roster? I mean, honestly... And more importantly, the contract lengths, which I still have an issue with, and these guys always look at me like, who gives a damn?
Well, you were hoping when you signed McCutcheon that he wasn't going to get hurt. That's a big chunk. Segura's plays well, but he's hurt all the time.
So the Braves were sixth in 2001 with a $92 million payroll.
Almost double.
The Phillies were 24th in baseball, with 41.6.
That's one.
And Lieberthal was the highest paid player.
And that's why they petitioned for for the new stadium.
Was that the year? No. 41.6.
And 46.9 total payroll.
All right, so that includes guys that...
Okay,
Greg Maddux was the highest paid Brave at the time.
And that's again, since the Tampa Bay Rays were in the World Series in 2008...
Well, they have a farm system.
Since 2008... They are 30th out of 30 franchises in paying players.
Mm-hmm. And fifth in wins.
They are fifth in wins.
Yeah, they're a great franchise.
So, I mean,
they have a good minor league system.
How about that?
They have a great minor league system.
Well,
right?
You should have paid Eric Neander $10 million to bring him up here.
I don't know. I don't know who or what they should have paid. They should get rid of analytics, is what I think, and start bringing back some eyes. Bring back some eyes.
Eyes never hurt.
That's right.
The only thing is, though, is the. Are too many managers not making out? I knew a baseball manager.
They don't have as much say.
I knew
as
a
they
baseball
to,
manager who did not make out his lineup card.
That's pathetic. I wouldn't doubt if it was Gabe.
Well, I was going to say, was his name Gabe?
No. His name was Freddie.
Really, down in Atlanta,
under Frank Wren, I believe Frank Wren made out the lineup card.
Probably got paid extra.
Guess what? It sounds like what Bob said about Brett Brown. And about what Doc Rivers faces with the Sixers, where they would walk in, explain it, you know, as far as...
Yeah, you'd walk in and see the list of players and see what... Red, yellow, green. Red, they're not playing. Green, they're a go. Yellow, proceed with caution.
And the doctor would tell you who's playing and who's not.
Why? Can I ask you something? If all this is going on in sports, how do they continue to raise the payrolls? If they're not playing
all the time... Because they're getting more, I guess.
Well, TV deals are better.
Yeah.
And by the way, baseball's TV deal is going to be better. Again,
that's so pathetic.
I really don't understand it.
Tweeted me a theory. I want to float it by Rick about the balls. You know, improve the balls. Yada yada yada. Somebody tweeted in. That's what they want you to think. They're pitting players against each other to get them on opposite sides for the CBA that's coming. Do you put any so that the players are inner arguing amongst themselves and not realizing they should be a unified front?
Well, it's kind of funny that was brought up because I'll never forget when the steroid talk first came around, I literally stood up in our meeting with Donald Fair there and I said, why don't we just test now? Sit down, we'll talk to you afterwards.
Mm. Really?
That's what I was told.
Wow.
Never.
They told you
never,
to sit down?
Basically, sit down, we'll talk about that later. We'll talk to you later in private after that.
So there's an old WWE story.
How did you take that? I can't imagine you taking that well.
Major League Baseball doesn't give a rat's blank about me. All they care about is what those guys are doing on the roids. I mean, when you think about it, how much money did all those and I say pitchers because I know a lot of pitchers that weren't doing them. How much did those guys lose in cash?
How many
guys didn't make it to the big leagues because of that? There's a lot of lawsuit there for some reason.
So you don't shoot that theory down, that they want the players fighting amongst themselves?
I wouldn't completely shoot it down, but I don't know if they want them. See, the problem is there may have been, back then, there may have been a very small majority that say, hey, let's do the testing. You know, I mean, I was probably in the minority at that point.
Yeah, well, there's a famous WWE story, not to bring wrestling into this, but somebody was getting called into question for steroids. And he said, yeah, send a limo to my house and then we'll go by Nature Boy and so-and-so's house, grab them, we'll all go get tested together. And this guy was like a middling not star. And oddly, his test got dropped.
Really?
Interesting.
Surprise, surprise.
Interesting.
Hey, this summer, Wawa beat the heat with their handcrafted refreshers and smoothies made fresh with 100% real fruit juice and green tea. It's your way at Wawa. I do notice one thing that I find a little humorous, just because of the hypocrisy of it. Here comes the boy, the cheering for. Remember, you can't play Odubel Herrera here?
Yeah.
Can't play Odubel Herrera here. People are never going to stand for it. Never going to. People forgot that like it was yesterday.
I don't know if they forgot.
They're cheering for him quite loudly.
But everybody also says if you play the game and you play well, they forget they put that in the back of their mind like it never happened.
And that's to me though is what I believe it honestly should be.
So you believe in second chances.
Yes,
by the way, I hate to tell you, a lot of people that said they don't believe in second chances now do.
Because of how he played.
It is what it is. I mean,
it is bottom line.
I don't condone what he did by any stretch of the imagination.
Nobody does.
But there is a thing that's, you know, it's called giving the guy another chance. And I think it happens everywhere. I mean, there's a lot of people that have done wrong and then have atoned for their sins and been better people for it.
I don't understand the idea of no grace. I can't live my life that way because you know what? Someday if you fail, you want somebody to forgive you. Someday if I screw up,
we got a dump button.
I certainly hope that I got it right here. Yeah. I certainly hope that God's grace will fall on me. Yeah. That I'll have a chance to go, okay, you've lived your life. You've done a really good job of trying to live your life the right way. You had a bad moment. You had a bad day. You had a bad moment.
His wife forgave him.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's the
bottom
one.
Line.
Right.
Bottom line. Why are you inserting?
She forgave him.
Right. I mean, everybody, but it was that he couldn't play in this town. People were going to be outraged. People were going to protest.
Let me put it this way. This is the first I've heard of it since the beginning of the year.
Correct. Because of the way he's playing now.
Yeah.
And imagine if they not.
They would have, well, if he didn't play, they would have released him.
Yes, I mean, but imagine how bad this team would be without his contribution.
They're not.
Because they're not good now.
They're not that good right now.
They're heading towards the abyss. You don't think there's any way that.
The abyss.
That Joe Girardi would be on a short leash.
Probably not, but who knows in this day and age? Who knows what.
You're not impressed.
I don't know what the analytics people are looking at. How's that? They might think things are going great.
But you're not impressed by the job he's done.
Not yet. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, there's not a lot of questions. Quite frankly, when you have a lot of injuries, there are a lot of questions. How many times can you really question him on certain things? I mean, there's a handful right now towards middle to end of the game type stuff. But I mean, you are what you have, right? That's the way I look at this. I don't necessarily call this Joe Girardi's fault. I hand this one on all the players. I hand down the start.
Personal responsibility.
Right away.
How did the players accept what happened with Scherzer the other night, do you think? Now, that's a respected pitcher, Rick. We talked about it a little bit earlier. But Girardi kind of went a little far, maybe.
He definitely did.
Yeah.
Well, but I think this whole thing is a scam. I really do.
What do you mean?
Look around the league on that same night. How many guys were dropping their drawers? I'll tell you what. If Sergio Romo did that, and I had my like young daughters. I mean, they're not young anymore. But if I was at a game and a player dropped his drawers on the field, I would be furious at MLB. I would be furious.
You fair enough.
If he doesn't get suspended or fined or something for that,
there's a big problem.
He won't. There is a big problem. And I'm telling you right now, guy, you cannot take your... By the way, can you think about this for a second? Can anybody here stand up right now and drop their drawers and everything will be fine?
No, I'd be an internet mock. I'd be mocked.
It's small, right?
Dropping your drawers to show skin? Yes. Guess what?
Romo's going to take all
Ricky,
his clothes
I'll walk
off.
I'll walk the mall with you. And show you people walking around showing their underwear.
That's not
all over the place. I mean,
not really my point.
No,
I mean, the whole point is it was embarrassing.
Oh, I think it was totally embarrassing. I think Joe Girardi's behavior was embarrassing. It,
everything about that game was embarrassing. These four-hour stinking games are getting embarrassing.
No, I love going to bed at 11 o'clock at night after watching my team implode.
Yeah,
it's great.
Add an hour plus for me, all right?
You had David Hale walk off the mound yesterday after giving up the Grand Slam and all the things that he did horribly wrong. And an umpire greeting him at the top of the dugout steps when he walked
off
the
field. That would have been
exactly. I was hoping to God he found something.
I think so I could been see a referee
ejected him. Yeah,
I got to tell you, number one, they're not supposed to get relievers. Oh no, just the closer. Excuse me, the closer is different because he's finishing the game.
Why are you checking a pitcher after an inning?
Why wouldn't you check them before they cross into the field? Because they don't want the time restraint.
No, they did that yesterday with Odubel. Hector.
They checked before. No, the closers, they are checking before. Why wouldn't you check the starting pitcher?
That may have been one of those things where they may have had a warning about Hector Neris.
Mm.
And the reason why I said that, you guys watch Hector all the time, right?
Yeah.
You never noticed he always used to go behind it. He didn't do it once yesterday.
Mm.
Did not do it once yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff before and after.
How about this
stuff
one?
On
you
this.
Guys never saw this one where they rub their a lot of guys rub their
yeah, I've seen that.
Their glove arm.
What's that? Suntan lotion? Oh,
there was probably something.
Suntan lotion was a big one.
All right, Rick. Death Cage. Yeah. Scherzer and Girardi enter. Who's walking out?
Scherzer, probably.
Is it close?
He's got the eye of the tiger.
He does have that crazy.
My best.
That's a really good line. I wish I'd thought of it. Right now, so after the weekend, after the Mets series, you're not working this weekend, right?
No, how'd you know that?
Because you said it yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Your tweet panicked me. I thought you were off today, and I was like, is Rick in
off?
Oh,
no, no. Somebody was asking about he's gonna have a heart attack at the Mets series and said, I'm off.
Can we put DeGrom in perspective for people? Because statistically, he's on pace for the greatest season ever by a pitcher.
He is.
And it's almost July, so you're not being hyperbolic.
No, it's better than Bob Gibson. Since 1900, he's first and second in ERA, whip, and something else.
And by the way, he had no problem going in there after the fact of the whatever the substance.
He was
the first game, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Yeah. This guy is the real deal.
Is he the best? Maybe the best ever.
Maybe the best ever.
Whoa, wow. That is bold and beautiful.
Are you kidding? A .5?
No, I mean, that's awesome.
He's averaging a base runner every other inning.
Yeah.
Here's
what's really phenomenal. If he doesn't give up a run in an inning, it barely goes down. It can't go down any further. That's how low his ERA is right now.
But he's a guy, another one, though, just seems totally cool.
He does not give a crap about anything. Yeah, he just goes out there and pitches.
And he gets the ball and he throws it.
And he can hit.
That's not bad either.
Yeah.
He
was a college shortstop. So.
Jamie, I think he has more RBIs this year than runs.
Than runs allowed.
Runs allowed.
Wait. I did not know that.
Yeah, he was drafted in like the 22nd round as a shortstop. And he only pitched 1 year in college. But the Mets scout saw enough to draft him.
By the way, you got brought up as a discussion the other day about guys that didn't pitch that became pitchers.
Yeah. I was one of them.
And you were one of the people.
Why didn't you become DeGrom?
Yeah, why didn't you ever become DeGrom?
They never let me start. They let me start in the minor leagues. I literally had like a 2-1 ERA.
Did they think your mentality was more of a short-term?
Little psychopath, put him in the bullpen.
Exactly. Do you think your lack of mental awareness was something that went against you being a starter?
No. I think it was, at that point in time, it was the quickest way for me to get to the big leagues. I was already 21 when I was signed.
Who was the team we talked about during spring training that had a seven-person mental staff to deal with their baseball team?
Oh.
Seven?
Yeah,
people,
I remember the conversation.
Seven full-time people.
Don't the Phillies have five?
To deal with, I think Phillies have five, I believe. To deal with 25 guys.
Forget who it was.
And there's, seriously, so
this
you
is
have
just
a mental,
sad.
It is, it's craziness. Can you imagine a corporation, any kind of business?
So there's one for every three and a half guys?
Every five people, every six people? Are you kidding me?
Every three and a half guys.
It's crazy town. Now, there's overkill.
That could go both ways.
It really is, but it's
crazy town.
It is, but it's over. It's way over the top.
Everything's over the top nowadays. Everything they do, just get back to the game. Whatever happened to just playing baseball? You know, if somebody gets hurt, move them. You know, whatever happened to this? It's like, I don't know. To me, it's like there's such a merry-go-round that goes on. These guys are not ready. Half of the guys that are on the team are not ready to be in the big leagues.
You know what your best bet to get it back to what you're talking about, Rick?
There's a lot.
Okay.
You know what your best bet is to get it back to what you're talking about? Ohtani.
Holy hell, this guy's a freak.
Maybe that's the change. Like here's a guy that's a great thrower and a great hitter. Yeah. We're not going to specialize him in just throwing. Maybe that's going to be the way of baseball coming up because everything's copycat. That guys coming through high school and college that are great hitters but also pitch.
I pitched a little bit in college, but I played other positions.
Yeah. If Mike Socha ever gets a job after botching him his rookie year, then I give up.
They're not letting pitchers hit, though, in high school.
Literally, the league I played in before that I was signed out of, the Greater Hartford Twilight League, Beer League. But that league that I got signed out of, I would catch 3 days in the week, pitch a game, then catch, then pitch a game. And then once in a while, if I was tired, I'd play center field. So I never took a day off.
And nowadays, though, in high school and college, they're not letting
that's
kids bat.
Stupid.
Pitchers don't bat.
Yeah, well, you know what? It goes right to the, let's give you a participation trophy, okay?
Oh,
that's where it all started.
What are you going to do? You going to have a nice weekend, though, with the weekend
probably
off?
Probably not. I like work.
Do you enjoy working?
I do.
Why don't you get in some golf, Rick?
I probably will.
Yeah?
It's not a bad
deal. When are you going to go?
I'm going to go free golf?
Probably going to go today, yeah.
Oh, boy, that sounds like a good deal. Uh-huh.
Johnny Clark today.
There you go. Oh, yeah. Good job. Hey, remember to support life-saving.
Name dropper.
Remember to support life-saving cancer research.
Maybe chemo teaming too.
Join us and our generous partner, Adam Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. It was a lively Thursday edition of the John Kincaid Show. What do we have planned for you on Friday? You do not want to miss it. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 6. Stay tuned for Cuz Radio and then the Mike Missinelli Show. Stay with the Fanatic all day long. Have a great day, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.